morning. Bring greetings in Jesus' name. This morning, I have a message here on forgiveness to share. And there's a sense in which I can feel a little cheap giving this, sharing this, because I know that there are many people here who have probably had to forgive a lot more than I ever have. So I want to say that at the beginning, that I recognize that. And maybe along with that, a quote from C.S. Lewis, he said, "Forgiveness is a beautiful word until you have something to forgive." As we open our Bibles, we look at the Gospels, Jesus taught about forgiveness. I have not done a real in-depth study on it, but if you go through the whole Bible, the word forgiveness in the Old Testament relates primarily to God. It's speaking of God's forgiveness. Very few exceptions. And as you go into the New Testament, it changes to about half of it speaking about people forgiving. I find that interesting. It's part of the new covenant, the new way that Jesus brought for us. Maybe quickly to define forgiveness. Forgiveness has the thought of release, to let go, to say that you no longer owe me the debt. We use the term a lot to speak of interpersonal relationships and how I forgive you, I need to forgive you. And it's because I feel that you wronged me, and so I have to let that go. It's also a term that we use that same word for monetary debt. It's the same thought. It means to release, to not hold on to that hurt, but to release that sin or that act that I feel is against me, to not look for a way to get back at someone, but giving the situation to God. One thing I would also like to say in defining it, forgiveness is not absolving of sin. As people forgiving, we are not absolving of sin. We do not take away someone else's sin by forgiving them. That is between them and God. God's forgiveness deals with the sin. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but whenever the word forgiveness comes up, often there is a person or group of people, a situation that comes to your mind just like that. It's very common. Why is that? If you would turn to Matthew chapter 18, we have here a parable Jesus gave. I know in my mind I often break this chapter up into sections. We have Jesus speaking about how we need to become like little children at the first part. He talks about offenses. He talks about relationships within the church. And then at the end of the chapter, he gives this parable on forgiveness. But in studying this, it's very interesting that these all have to do with relationships. The whole chapter is about relationships. From humbling ourselves, dealing with offenses, and then church, how to respond to a brother that trespasses against us. Following Jesus' teaching about how to relate to a brother, how to be reconciled. We have Peter coming up with this question. He says, Lord, if my brother offends me, how often do I need to forgive him? Till seven times. And Peter, in offering to do it seven times, he was being very generous. The Jews required three times, so he doubled that and added an extra one for good measure. And Jesus said, no, it's not enough. But it's 70 times seven. It's indefinite. Let's read, beginning at verse 21. Sorry. Yeah, 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. The first part of this parable is an example of God's forgiveness. A man, we have a king, that had loaned a tremendous amount of money. And I don't know how accurate some of these figures are, but just to give you a number to visualize, $282,800,000 compared to $15, the approximate difference in those two debts. Tremendous debt. It was impossible, I believe, for that man to pay that debt. He begged for time. He wanted time for a chance to pay it. I don't believe it was possible. God's forgiveness is not given to us because of who we are. It's not because of how nice we are, that how much we deserve it. We're forgiven because of who God is. because He loves us. Forgiveness involves real sin. I believe it was G.K. Chesterton who wrote, "Forgiveness means pardoning the unpardonable, or it is not forgiveness at all." It's not just that nothing happened, but it involves real sin. We also see that our forgiveness is not earned. It's given. It's a gift. And so, when we pass that forgiveness that God has given us, when we pass that on to our brother, we don't wait to see if he's going to treat me better next time. We don't see how he's going to respond. We don't put him on a time of proving before we forgive him. That's not how God forgives. There's no way that we can earn our forgiveness from God. Why do we require it of others? I'd also like to differentiate a little bit between reconciliation and forgiveness. Reconciliation does take time. It takes time to rebuild trust. It takes time to rebuild a relationship that is destroyed. But we have to forgive in order for that reconciliation to take place. Again, the reason for forgiveness is found in the forgiver, not in the forgiven. As we think of God's forgiveness to us, the debt that we owe, there's no way to pay that. We are in the hole so far that it is impossible to get out. And yet God forgives us. How often do we presume on God's forgiveness? We sin, we fall, and we pray and we ask God to forgive us, and we get up, and we go on our way. We probably rarely think of the incident again. And yet when it's our brother, we sit there and we just have to keep remembering that thing. We have to bring that up over and over again. So often, the thing that makes forgiveness hard for us is our own pride. It's when we think of ourselves differently than what God thinks of us. If we're going to forgive others, we have to see ourselves as God sees us. There's a few passages that speak of bitterness. I think we think of bitterness, we think of holding on to unforgiveness, a grudge. Hebrews 12:15 says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Then Ephesians 4 talks about letting all bitterness and wrath, so on, be put away with all malice. And we're to be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. I believe it was Larry Robinson that I heard say, "Bitterness is like taking poison and hoping it kills the other person. We're taking it ourselves, and yet we're hoping it kills the other person." back to Matthew 18, we see this servant who is forgiven so much. And he went out and it said he found a fellow servant. And that picture is very eloquent. He says he took him by the throat. That's what it does to our own life when we don't forgive. We're taking ourselves by the throat. We're strangling ourselves when we don't forgive. The cost of not forgiving is so high. I believe it will hurt you physically. It will ruin your life. We use the term nursing a grudge. And that term, that is very descriptive. We sit there and we go over every detail and we feel this thing out. And we take very good care of those grudges. I remember a number of years ago, I had something that was very hard for me. It was something I had to forgive. And many of you men can relate to spending some time in a warehouse. You know, sacking off seeds, a really good time to think about things. Doesn't take much brain work, and very monotonous. And you can just play things over and over in your mind. I remember that. Those things just going over and over in my mind. What I should have said, what I should have done. That's what a grudge does. We sit there and we're so careful with it. We try to keep that thing in good shape and try to make ourselves come out in our little dream world. We make ourselves come out on top every time. But that's not forgiveness. Story is told of Robert E. Lee. Sometime after the Civil War, he was visiting, and there was a woman was showing him around her plantation or place. And there was a lot of scars from the war yet. And she was showing him a tree that was broken and scarred from the bullets. He just told that Robert E. Lee told that woman, he said, cut that tree down. Get rid of it. You don't need to keep that thing there as a reminder of all these wrongs. Just get rid of it. We need to remember God is the source of forgiveness. It's not in me to forgive, but it's from God. I can forgive because I have been forgiven. When I realize the enormity of my debt that I owe, how can I withhold forgiveness from my fellow man? Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus spoke of forgiveness. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We have to forgive in order to be forgiven ourselves. It's one of God's laws. I would like to go into more the practical side of forgiveness now. Maybe some helps to forgiveness. One thing, forgiveness is a choice. It's not going to happen on its own. I have to choose to forgive. First of all, I have a number of points under a heart prepared to forgive. If we're going to be a forgiving people, we have to have a heart that is prepared to forgive. And first of all, we have to have a cleansed and surrendered heart. You know, forgiveness is a result of a relationship that I have with God. I'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 50. We have the story of Joseph and his example of forgiveness. I'm going to begin reading at verse 14, maybe just to give a little background. This was after Jacob had died, and they went and buried him, and this is on their return from burying their father Jacob. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face and said, "Behold, we be thy servants." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Verse 17. Joseph's brethren came and they said, "Forgive us. Our father wanted you to forgive us." It says Joseph wept. Joseph had a heart that was soft. He had a heart that was surrendered to God. If we're going to forgive, we're going to have a soft heart. We're going to have a heart that is surrendered to God. I need to see myself as God sees me. I need to compare myself with God's standard, not with other people. I'm going to have a heart prepared to forgive. I need to be little in my own eyes, humble before God. I need to remember how often that I fail. Romans 3, verses 10 to 12, as it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." I fail very often. Do I remember that? Do I remember how I compare with God's standard of holiness? I need to remember how undeserving I am of God's forgiveness. It's a gift to me. It's nothing that I deserved. I need to recognize that God is in control. You You see Joseph in verse 19 said, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God." He recognized God's direction in his life. God was in control. He didn't have to figure out all the whys and wherefores, but he knew that God was in control. God had a plan. When we can focus on God and His plan for my life and the grace of God and what God wants to teach me, then I can forgive. Then I have a heart that's prepared to forgive. When I recognize that no matter how bad it hurt, no matter how unjust it was, it's part of some God's plan that He allowed in my life. Joseph experienced things beyond what most of us ever experience. And yet he could simply say, "It's God. It's His plan for my life." As I look back in my own life, I see how often God used pain, maybe unjust pain even, because He wanted to teach me something. He wanted to move me over here or over there. He wanted to direct my life in a certain place, and He used that experience to do that. Probably many of us can say that. It may hurt at the time, but if it's something that God allowed, there's a lesson in it. There's a reason for it. The next part I have is actions of forgiveness. So that's a heart that's prepared to forgive. And now we have to do our part and act on that, to act on the theory of it. I'm going to give you my first two points together because they probably seem a little bit opposed to each other. The first one I have is to minimize the hurt. The second one I have is to acknowledge the hurt or the wrong. Not sure where I should say this. Maybe I should just say it here. When I'm talking about forgiveness, a lot of what I think of in my mind is those little interpersonal digs that we have. Just in relating with each other, we get hurt. Somebody said something mean to me. Somebody ignored me. Whatever. Somebody took advantage of me. I believe that there are some of these points that I have that if we, as we look at maybe more serious offenses, abuse, there's some of these points that maybe don't apply quite the same. So I want to say that. I'm not going to try to go through and say that every time I give a point, but I recognize that. To minimize the hurt, so often I am hurt because of pride in my life. We're to be dead to the flesh. Colossians 3:3 says, "For ye are dead." How often does a dead person sit up when you start saying something mean about them? They're dead. Doesn't matter. And yet, our flesh is supposed to be dead, and we sit up pretty fast when someone says something we don't like. It's often because of pride. We also need to remember that in all criticism, there is an element of truth. There's usually an element of truth in criticism. Okay, so minimize the hurt. Don't blow it out of proportion. Recognize that it's probably my pride that is creating this problem, this hurt in my life. But at the same time, acknowledge the wrong. Acknowledge the hurt. Don't try to cover it up. You notice in the account about Joseph, he did not say, "You guys, it's all right. You didn't do anything to me. It's all right." He said, "Yeah, you meant it for evil. You guys were bad. But that's all right. God had a plan. It's all right. I forgive you." But acknowledge it. I don't believe he minimized it at all. But he said, "That's fine. We can move on." But we do not help that process of forgiveness by just acting like it never happened. We don't need to always publicly acknowledge hurt, but I think in our own mind we need to say, "Yeah, it hurt. Okay, go on. Forgive." The other thing, forgiveness is not ignoring someone. It's facing the fact that there was wrong done and then choosing to forgive. I'm not going to hold it against you. I'm going to keep going with life. We need to try to look at things from another's point of view. I know there's times that something's said, something's done, and my initial reaction is to, "Well, that's sure not very nice. That hurt." But if I can just lay it aside for a while and start thinking about that person and maybe the pain that they're going through right now and what they've experienced, usually I can understand why they did it. When we can try to see things from another's point of view, it helps us to be more objective about it. It doesn't change what happened, but it helps us to understand that they hurt me because they were hurt themselves. Whatever the case is. We need to be careful about sharing the incident with others. I think it's all right to talk to your husband, your wife, maybe your parent if you're not married. I think it's all right to talk to them. Other than that, I really don't think most things need to go farther than that. If it's a personal between two people, I think most times it shouldn't go any further than that. Again, I think there's times, depending on what's all involved, you may need to share that a little further in order to find healing or help. But I think that there are many things, many times we make it hard to forgive because we talk about it too much. We share it with too many people. We need to be willing to accept that life isn't always fair. Life isn't about being fair. Life is about serving God. I don't mean that we can use that as an excuse to be unjust. But we don't have to worry about everything being perfectly fair. Our focus needs to be on serving God. We need to pray for those who hurt us, that we feel they have hurt us. I've found in my own life that when I pray, sincerely ask God's blessing on someone else's life, I can't hold a grudge. I don't know. Probably you've found that too, I trust. But when I pray for others, seek the good of others. Forgive quickly. And we could go back to what I said about bitterness. But don't hang on to those things. Take care of it and move on. Things only get worse as we hang on to them and stretch them out. Last of all is reach out in love. And maybe this is the hardest one in some ways. When we've been hurt, it isn't easy to reach out and try to build a relationship. But it's going to help us to forgive if we can. Forgiveness is closely tied to non-resistance. And we recently, somebody shared a message on non-resistance at home. It really stood out to me that it's not just not hitting back. But Jesus' teaching on non-resistance is reaching out and trying to build a relationship. It's more than just staying out of people's way, but it's being actively involved in trying to build that relationship. And I think that that is very important to forgiveness. We have to try to build relationship. We have to make effort to build relationship. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus, earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, verses 23 and 24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled with thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. We have to forgive if we're going to prosper spiritually. One of God's laws. Forgiveness, bitterness in our lives will hinder our spiritual growth. If we're going to prosper, we have to forgive. Forgiveness is not something that we can do one time and we're done. Forgiveness happens over and over and over. Every day, maybe many times throughout the day, we have to forgive. And as we forgive, that healing takes place in our life, and we can forgive less. It comes up less often. And finally, forgiveness is a journey. It's not a destination. I don't believe we get to the point where we've got it figured out and it's somewhere we get to. But it's something that happens over and over. It's part of our life's journey is forgiving. And I know for myself, I like to get things done. I like to get to the point where the work's caught up. And I like that in my spiritual life. You know, I like to get to the point where it's all caught up and everything's in shape. It's not that way. It's a journey. It goes on. And that's how forgiveness is. I guess that's my prayer for each one here, that we can be a forgiving people and that God can work in our lives and help us to be that. God bless you.
That was all.